Hey, Doctors Boutet and Rozak, where are you? Are you in different places?
Yes, we are. We're
Dr.
both in
Boutet,
the
where are
DC
you?
area.
You're both in the D. Okay, that's good. Okay, that'll help me out here. Tell me about the what gave you the idea for this report? What is this, and where? What was the idea behind this report? Tell me what gave you gave. Whoever did this report, the idea for it.
Sure. So over the summer, we were thinking about how COVID-19 has really illuminated health inequities and the need to improve access to trusted healthcare destinations. And when we thought back with our colleagues at Johns Hopkins, we were thinking about how can the two of our organizations, the National Association of Chain Drug Stores and Johns Hopkins, work together on a document to kind of describe pharmacy's successes before and during the pandemic in confronting health inequities and disparities, and offer some recommendations on how the good work that's been done to date could be built upon in the future as well.
Okay. So, what did this report say? I'm on the website. I have not exactly read this report yet, but what does it say?
Sure. So the premise behind the report is talking about pharmacy's role and how they've kind of broken down access barriers, they've promoted health equity, and they've really reached hard-to-reach populations throughout the pandemic. And so we issued three recommendations as part of the report. The first was looking at how pharmacies can get covered for the services that they deliver. So, unlike other healthcare destinations, the billing pathways were not built yet, and there's an opportunity not to tear down those pathways and keep them intact. We also looked at laws that could be changed to broaden the type of testing and vaccinations that pharmacy team members give, and that's called expanded scope of practice, and that needs to be maintained. And then we also looked at how pharmacies, public health agencies, community-based organizations, and others can work together to build on health equity beyond the pandemic. So there's a lot of groups that are aligned in mission, and they've done tremendous work throughout the pandemic to address health equity. And we should definitely look at how to address health inequities in the future, from prevention to managing chronic conditions, from heart disease, diabetes, and beyond as well.
When we think about health care, and when we hear all these reports in the news about what Congress is thinking about health care, and where the health care sits, pharmacies are rarely mentioned. I don't hear. I mean, it seems like they're the forgotten link in this, but they are a huge link. And do pharmacies need to be considered more in the health care in the healthcare process?
I think they do. And that is one thing that we are continuing to work towards. Here with the pandemic, pharmacy has been the center of the nation's COVID vaccine initiatives. And I think that with the pandemic, pharmacy and community pharmacies have been able to really showcase how valuable they are to the team of healthcare providers and how valuable they are to the healthcare system and how valuable they are to patients and their care. Pharmacies are, as you said, they seem to be forgotten, but to patients, pharmacists are often the first point of contact and in most cases the last point of contact when patients are going home and taking care of themselves based on any prescribed regimens that the physicians provide to them. So what this pandemic has allowed us to do and what we continue to do and as Sarah say, striving to make permanent is making sure that pharmacists are continued to be seen as a valuable part of the healthcare team. Pharmacists, the role for the pharmacist has changed significantly over the years. I myself was a practicing pharmacist, and now in my role at NACDS, have seen how the role of a pharmacist has evolved and has changed, and the amount of care outside of just dispensing prescriptions that pharmacists can provide to patients, and the reach that pharmacists have to those rural areas and patients who need to get to the healthcare services where
other physicians may not be available or it's outside of traditional hours. So I think that we have the ability to make sure that pharmacy stays in the forefront and stays at the top of mind for patients as we continue to help with the COVID needs as well as other healthcare needs.
Dr. Botte, you hit what was my next point, is that pharmacies have changed. Because, you know, when I was a kid, you'd go there just to get prescriptions, and that was it. But now, when you mentioned vaccines, I got my vaccine at a pharmacy. I didn't go to a doctor. I went to a pharmacy to get it. So the things that pharmacies do have expanded. They give out vaccines. They do all sorts of things. And I think that's something that's very important in these days. So what needs to be done? Are there anything that needs to be done from a legal, and I don't mean legal, I mean congressional governmental standpoint as far as pharmacies are concerned? Are there any access questions that need to be answered by Congress, or that bills, any sort of governmental action can improve what pharmacies do?
Absolutely. So one of our key messages is that it's important for governments to continue to listen to pharmacies' recommendations for needed policies, and that we don't roll back the solutions that have been put in place throughout the pandemic. So the government, the federal government, through what's called the PREP Act and other key federal actions, have allowed pharmacies to play a really significant role in COVID testing and vaccination throughout the pandemic. State governments have also taken action throughout the pandemic as well to offer pharmacies flexibilities, and making sure that those flexibilities are actually made permanent and not rolled back is really important. So those pieces include flexibilities related to billing and payment, but also flexibilities related to what's called scope of practice. So giving pharmacies the authority and ability to do certain things across all 50 states, and then also elevating the role of the pharmacy technician to support the pharmacist and allow the pharmacist to spend more time on providing clinical care.
Mm-hmm. How have pharmacies and their mission changed even over the past couple of years with COVID? Has what a pharmacy does and a pharmacist does, has that changed in the last couple of years with COVID?
So I don't think I would. Oh, go ahead, Christy.
No, I would say it has changed over the years in terms of the kinds of services pharmacies provide, uh-huh. But the overall right. mission and accessible patient health care and valuable patient health care has not changed. What has changed is the number of the kinds of services. So now, like we've talked about, pharmacists can administer vaccines. Pharmacists can do point-of-care testing. Pharmacists can help with things like simple diabetes screenings and hypertension and things like that. The types of services has changed, but the mission still holds true to provide valuable patient care that's readily accessible. So mm-hmm. I think that what you have is making sure within that mission we can really evolve within that mission and provide more of that valuable patient care for patients in an environment that patients are comfortable with and from someone that they know and trust.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about health equity, making sure that everybody has access to pharmacies and the services that a pharmacy does. What needs to be done in that with that issue?
Sure. So what I would say about health equity is that it's always been front and center for pharmacies, and the pandemic has kind of shown a light on health inequities across the country and what the healthcare sector as a whole can do to address those. And part of the reason that pharmacies are so central to this is because they're so accessible, convenient, and trusted to provide care services across communities. So whether it's rural or urban communities, pharmacies have, for instance, expanded access to vaccination by offering mobile and pop-up clinics They've extended vaccination hours. They've partnered closely with community leaders, faith-based organizations, and other groups that represent racial and ethnic minorities to make vaccination and other care services really widely available and accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Can I answer that? Sarah raised a good point. We've been talking about trust and comfort, and I think that part of health equity is a huge part of it is understanding that there's been a lot of historical mistrust in the healthcare system. And now with the pandemic, with so much information out there, pharmacies can bridge those gaps, bridge the gaps on the mistrust, bridge the gaps on the information, and provide the information to those patients that is needed. You have patients going to pharmacies because they know and trust their pharmacy, but the pharmacy is also a place where they can get that information, a way that they can understand it, that also considers their other medical histories or personal needs. So that health equity issue and those social determinants and disparities can also be minimized and eliminated when you have patients accessing those pharmacies, talking to someone that they know, and building on that trust to get rid of all of those other inequities that we have been seeing.
Mm-hmm. Now that we have this report, what happens next? What's the next step?
So we'd love for folks to act on the recommendations within the report. So front and center there are making sure that the flexibilities granted to pharmacies during the pandemic are not rolled back by the government, and instead they're made permanent to continue that strong access to patient care. And I think there's also a lot of opportunities for groups that are similarly aligned in mission with pharmacies to work together on, you know, building on all these great examples throughout the pandemic of how they could combat health equity.
Mm-hmm. Is the next step then up to, say, government then, or is it up to the industry itself?
So I think there's a lot of opportunity for government to take that next step and to make these flexibilities permanent, make the scope of practice and the payment and billing flexibilities permanent to expand that access to care. And then, you know, that second piece that I mentioned, there have been so many great examples throughout the pandemic working together with community-level organizations, faith-based organizations, and others all throughout the country. And I think there's an opportunity in communities to kind of build upon those partnerships that pharmacies and other groups have made together and continue their effort to combat health inequity. Don't let it stop after the pandemic, but continue onward beyond.
Okay. Where do we find this report? Where do we go?
Sure. So the report can be found at nacds.org and then search for health equity.
nacds.org. And NADCS stands for the
National Association of Chain Drug Stores.
And there we are. All right, great. Dr. Boutte, Dr. Rozek, I thank you for a few minutes out. Anything we've missed that we need to get out there to people?
No, I think we covered it.
Doctors, I thank you for a few minutes out. I wish you the best in D.C. Happy holidays, and thanks for stopping by here for a few minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye now.